Many Jews who said, you know, you quit, you're out. Out is out. Especially those Jews who themselves suffered under the same pressure and did not give in. So they had an understandable feeling of animosity and bitterness towards those weak Jews who did give in. Rabbeinu Gershom defended the right of the apostate Jews to return to Judaism. In his tshuvas, he allowed them to be buried in the Jewish cemetery. He restored them to their civil rights when they became Jewish again. He almost forgot the matter. It's as though nothing happened. It was a passing aberration. And this policy of Rabbeinu Gershom was itself a milestone in Jewish history, because we will see that the same exact question will raise itself almost 500 years later regarding the Marranos in Spain. When they left Spain and they came now to Jewish communities and they said, we want to come back and be Jewish. You know, I'd like to have an aliyah. I'd like to buy a seat in your shul for Yontif. And the other Jews said, you know, you stayed in Spain, right? We got up and we left with nothing. And you stayed because of your money, because of your houses, because of your businesses. And you went to church. And you baptized your children. Now you come, you want an aliyah by me. Go to Forche. Not here. And that became a terribly divisive situation. And it's interesting, many of those who criticized the lenient attitude of Rabbeinu Gershom 500 years before were the Sephardic rabbis, who said he had no right to do it. And then God, in his sense of humor, always turns the wheel a little on you. And when the shoe is on your foot, then you say, you know, Rabbeinu Gershom, he had a pretty good idea, not so bad. Could be that he's right, that that's the way to do it. So we'll see this acted over and over again. And unfortunately, in Jewish history, it crops up in 100 different ways. There were Jews in the Second World War who hid and saved their lives by pretending they were Christians. After the war, they came out, they came back to Israel, they came to other places, and other Jews recognized them. And they said, oh no, you're not, we're going to let you, you know, not allowed here, not in my shul, you're not going to be here. And you can imagine, I mean, I'm certain we're all sensitive to the terribly emotional quality of that problem. And Rabbeinu Gershom is like the light beacon of tolerance, if we want to use that word. That you have to let the, you know, mistake is a mistake. But you have to let them back in. And there are some who say that Rabbeinu Gershom sat Shiva over the death of his son, who was an apostate. But he felt that in the last moment of his life may have recanted, so therefore he treated him as a Jew. Now there are, I will discuss these legends later, but there are countless legends of the Middle Ages about popes, cardinals, bishops, kings, emperors, who were Jewish, who were stolen away from their parents in childhood and raised in the Catholic Church, and who on their deathbed remembered they were Jewish and they left all their money to the JNF. Now, the fact that those legends existed and continue to exist is an indication of how sore that point was and how many Jews felt it. Also the fact that there was almost no family among the Ashkenazim that escaped this scourge. The Ri Azokin, Rabbeinu Yitzchok, the greatest of the Balei Tosfos, his family had